For those who don't know me, I'm Pastor Jenny. I totally have my act together. I'm often over with the kids in kids worship, so today my husband John is teaching the kids, but the animals, the llamas, the sheep, the goats, the camel, they're all right now living behind the children's Sunday school room, so you can see them, you know, right through the window, so, you know, we're going to have to wonder how much they're actually going to get done over there. Because it's pretty fun to watch them. But we are in our second week of Advent, and Advent includes the four Sundays leading up to Christmas, and Advent is just all about preparing our hearts to celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus. And our Advent series this year is called God With Us, because really that is what Christmas is all about, the fact that God came to be with us. The Holy God of the universe. Matthew 1:23 says, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." That's one of my very favorite Christmas verses. And so in this series, we are looking at the different ways that God was with the different characters in the Christmas story, and we'll also look at how God is with us today in our lives. Now, last week, Pastor Rich talked about Joseph and how God was with Joseph, and how God is with us when we stand alone in doing what's right. Today we're going to look at Mary's story, and through her story we're going to explore how God is with us in uncertain times. My husband John works for a company that has offices all over the place, Tokyo, Japan, London, even New Jersey, and so... New Jersey, yeah. He actually had to go visit there for work once. He's like, "You guys want to come with me?" No, that's okay. But next time you get called to London, you let me know. So Monday night, John was working late because we knew we had to do Bethlehem. So it was like 9:30 at night before he was finally coming home. For some reason, he decided he wanted to call his parents while he was on his way home. So he's got the Bluetooth set up. It's voice activated. So he says, "Call Mom and Dad." He ended up calling Japan. Ended up calling the offices in Japan. So he thought that was funny, you know, what kind of gremlins are in the Bluetooth. So he decides to call me to tell me about it. So he says, "Call home." He called the home of the vice president in Princeton, New Jersey. Now, it's 9:30 at night here. So it's like 12:30 in the morning in Princeton. Thankfully, everybody has a good sense of humor, so he still has a job. But, you know, whether it's technology or, you know, things in our life, things don't always go the way that we plan. And so today we're going to talk about how God is with us in uncertain times. Because whether it's little things like, you know, a phone call home going to Japan, or a big thing like an illness or a loss of a job, we all face, we all go through those times of uncertainty, those times when... life just isn't going the way we planned. Things are not working out the way that we thought they would, and we just can't, picture how things are ever going to get better. Uncertain times are scary times, whether it's job uncertainty or relationship uncertainty, or, you know, health uncertainty. They're scary times because the way we usually get through life is to have a plan, and we know what to do next. And when there's a bump in the road, we have a plan on how to get through it. And that's usually how I get through rough patches. I just tell myself it's not going to last forever, right? You know, if I can just get through this, you know, it'll eventually get better. You know, that's how I survived the first few months when our first son was born. You know, you have no clue what you're doing. You're so exhausted that you can't even think straight. And I got myself through it by reminding myself that people have more than one child on purpose. So it's got to get better. You know, if people do this again on purpose, it has to get better. And so when I go through rough times, I get through by reminding myself that eventually this will end. But when I injured my neck last year, that didn't work for me, because for months, for like 12 months, I didn't get better. And there was no light, you know, at the end of the tunnel. There was no sign of progress. And no matter how many procedures or medications I tried, nothing was changing. And so I had to start asking myself, what if I don't get better? What if I can never work again? What if I can never go on a family vacation again or care for my children again? What if it gets to the point where I can't even walk? And those times of uncertainty are frightening. They're terrifying because we're left without a plan and without really knowing if things are going to get better. And I know a lot of you right now are in the midst of this kind of uncertainty, whether it's a job uncertainty or health uncertainty or relationship uncertainty. And it's a scary place to be. And as much as we may have wished otherwise in the past, God doesn't offer us a magic formula for, you know, instant healing. God doesn't offer us magic 10 steps that can make everything better. God's promise is that he will always be with us. He will never abandon us. He will always continue to care for us and provide for us. And so today we're going to look at what that means. We're going to look at how God is with us in these times of uncertainty as we look at the story of Mary, because Mary is a perfect example of somebody who had things planned out, and then her life was completely turned upside down. So let's go ahead and read the first part of Mary's story. Open your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 1, and we're going to start by reading verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Now, as Pastor Rich taught last week, Mary and Joseph had their simple, quiet life nicely planned out. They had been officially betrothed. They were engaged. They were going to get married within a year. They were going to set up their house. They were going to have children. You know, it was all set up. It was all planned out. They were going to have this nice, simple life in a simple town of Nazareth. But as we know, Mary's plans for a simple life were turned on their head in this one amazing moment. Because first of all, she got a visit from an angel. Now, we know that was not something she had ever considered happen to her. And then she finds out that she's been chosen. Out of all the women in the world, Mary was the one chosen to carry the Son of God and raise him. I mean, I was trying to think of a word for that. And to say it's an honor just seems to be inadequate. But on the other side of this, that honor that God gave her, the reality of that would be very difficult. Because Mary had to know that the consequences of accepting God's honor and carrying this child would mean a lot of uncertainty for her. Even with Mary's level of trust and faith in God, she knew that the reality of what she would face would be very difficult. No one was going to believe her angel story. And you try that, right? Okay, nobody's going to believe her angel story. She knew that most likely Joseph would divorce her. And then how would she provide for her child? And not even to mention just the shame and the humiliation that would be on her and the baby that she was carrying. Everything Mary had planned for her life could fall apart. And I think this is one of the reasons why we look up to Mary as such an amazing example of faith and trust in God, because she knew the risk she was taking. When she accepted and said, I am the Lord's servant, may it be to me as you have said, she knew the reality that she was facing, that her life would be thrown into uncertainty, that she didn't know if Joseph would stand by her. She didn't know if her parents would disown her. She didn't know what kind of reaction she would get from the people around her, and yet still she trusted God and served him in the way that she was asked. And I think what's beautiful about Mary's story is not just her faith and trust in serving God, but the fact that God took care of Mary. God was with Mary, and throughout her entire story, God cared for her and watched after her. And so that's what we're going to look at today, about how God was with Mary in her time of uncertainty and how God is with us in ours as well. Now, looking at Mary's story, we're going to explore two ways that God is with us in our times of uncertainty. And the first is how God provides for us in uncertain times. God is always at work in our lives, in the good times and in the dark moments, even when we can't recognize it. And often we can't recognize it until we're out of the dark time and we're looking back. But even in those dark times, God is at work and God's hand provides for us in all kinds of ways. Sometimes God provides resources, but sometimes God provides strength and encouragement, or sometimes God provides guidance and wisdom. And then we're going to see how God did that for Mary. We see it very clearly in Mary's story because, you know, God's request that Mary carry the baby Jesus through her life into uncertainty, but God didn't just say, thanks, you know, good luck with that. God continued to provide for her. And, you know, first of all, by sending the angel to Joseph to get Joseph on board, you know, that was step one. But then later on in the Christmas story, we see God provide shelter at the stable when there was no room for them in the inn. And then after the baby Jesus was born, the story tells us that God provided a warning to Joseph because King Herod wanted to find and kill the baby Jesus. And so God provided a warning to them to flee and go to Egypt. And then much later, when Jesus was older and beginning his ministry, we see at the wedding in Cana, it was Mary who urged that first miracle out of Jesus when he turned the water into wine at the wedding. And God gave Mary the eyes to see who her son truly was and what he could do, but also the courage to be able to allow others to see that as well. And then when Jesus was hanging on the cross, I mean, we have to know that God provided Mary with the strength and comfort she needed as she watched her son die. 3 days later, when Mary and all of Jesus' followers were in their darkest times of uncertainty, God raised Jesus from the dead, proving that he has power and control over everything in this world, and providing not only Mary, but all of humanity with the forgiveness of sins and a path to salvation and a relationship with God forever. We see in Mary's story then different ways that God provided for her in her time of uncertainty. And the Lord continues to provide for us as well. If you look back on your dark times, if you look back on the times when you were really struggling, you can see in your life the times that God showed up. God knows our needs. And when you look back, you can see those times when doors were opened, when you had this peace that can't be explained, when you had the encouragement and motivation that you needed to get through. The reason I actually ended up working at this church is because of the way that God provided for me in an uncertain and dark time. Right after I finished seminary, I took the first job that was offered, and I knew it wasn't a good fit. It was a small church, and you know, I knew it wasn't a good fit. I'm a free spirit, and this place was, we'll just say it was rigid. Okay. My first week working there, the deacons actually voted to ban clapping in service. So they just would have dropped dead at the song we did, Build Your Kingdom Here, with the stump fiddle. That would have ended the church right there. I mean, they made an announcement in church that clapping would not be allowed. That's the kind of place this was. And so you can imagine me trying to fit in there. But, you know, it was my first job offer and it paid well. And, you know, I thought, oh, you know, I can make this work. And I lasted for 2 years. Now, the good thing that came out of it was I learned that I love working with children. So that was a blessing that came out of it. But by the time I left, my soul just was dry. and hurt. You know, we all have lots of hurts in our lives, but if you've ever been hurt through a church experience, you just know those can be devastating, not only to our hearts, but to our faith. And my faith in Christ never wavered, but as a result of my experience there, my sense of calling wavered. And I had never doubted my calling into ministry since I first felt God call me into ministry. I'd just been 100%, I'm going to follow God. But this experience left me wondering, do I really want to do this for the rest of my life? Or am I really built to do this for the rest of my life? But God wasn't quite ready to let me go. And 3 months after I quit that job, I ended up with 3 job offers from American Baptist churches in this area. And, you know, you guys had a service with rock music and a softball team, so obviously. And you had Pastor Rich. Actually, my first time I came to meet him and Pastor Bob, he told me they were taking me to Taco Bell. I said, okay. It's all good. God is with us in uncertain times, and one of the ways God is with us is the way that he provides for us. And when we look back, we can see it. It's so much easier when we look back. When we look back, we can see all the ways that God's hand has been at work, giving us the strength we need, that encouragement, the peace, or opening those doors, or giving us actual resources that we need at that time. We are not alone in our hardships and the things that we go through. God is with us. So one way God is with us is in uncertain times through his provision. And one other very important way that God is with us is through other people. And we see this in Mary's story and the huge impact that her cousin Elizabeth had on her during this time. Now, before the angel Gabriel came to Mary, he paid a visit to her cousin Elizabeth and Elizabeth's husband, Zechariah, and told them that they were going to have a baby after years and years of not being able to. And the Bible tells us that Elizabeth and Zechariah were very old. Like, those are the words used, very old. So this was a miracle. And their baby would end up being John the Baptist, who would help prepare people for the teachings of Jesus. And so when Mary, after Mary gets a visit from the angel, she immediately goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth. And we find that in Luke 1, verses 39 through 45. So go ahead and open up your Bibles again. Keep them open this time because we're not going to be done with them. Read about her visit. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the babe in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, in a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." I just love that because I can just imagine what those words meant to Mary. Because we know that Mary hurried to go to Elizabeth, and we don't know whether she was just excited about her pregnancy or whether there was a little fear and panic about, you know, would Joseph leave her? Would her family disown her? What people were going to say about her when they discovered she was pregnant? And these words from Elizabeth, we just know they had to fill her with just this encouragement and comfort and joy because of the affirmation that Elizabeth gave her. Whenever I go home, I always like to visit my great aunt, Aunt Mary. She's my grandmother's sister, because the first thing she does whenever she sees me, she gives me a hug and a kiss. She puts my face in her hands, and then she tells me how beautiful I am. I mean, who doesn't want to hear that? I mean, she just goes on and on about how beautiful I am. I mean, those are the kind of people that you just love to be with. And that's what Elizabeth does for Mary. She's just so excited, and her affirmation just had to be just such a relief and a comfort and an inspiration to Mary. And we see the effect it has on Mary by Mary's response. Luke 1, 46 through 56. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. I love how Mary's response to Elizabeth's words is just praise. Her heart just opens up and she just gives this wonderful praise and thanks to God for choosing her to bring the Savior into the world. God was with Mary in all kinds of ways through her life. And we see how God cared for Mary here through her cousin Elizabeth. Because one of the most important ways that God is with us in uncertain times is through the love and care and encouragement of other people. When I was dealing with my neck injury last year, one of the most important ways that God was with me was through my husband, John. John is my rock. And he's the one that just kept me going through those 15 months of nothing getting better. He was the one that, I think the word relentless is the only word I can think of. He was relentless in his encouragement and in his hope and in his love and support of me. He refused to believe that we were not going to get our life back. His hope never faltered. And so he is the reason that I never gave up, because my faith wasn't strong enough. At that time, my faith wasn't strong enough, and so God gave me John's. And John is the reason that I am here with you guys today. He is the reason that I didn't give up and was able to make it through. And one of the most important ways that God is with us in uncertain times is through the love and encouragement and faith of other people. And those times when we encourage others, when we lift them up, when we give them that love and guidance, that's God being with them through us. And it's one of the most amazing ways that we can help God in his work. We were never meant to go through this life alone, ever. We were created to go through life in a relationship with God and a relationship with each other. So, one last closing thought. A couple of years ago, we took the family up to the mountains for the snow during Christmas vacation, and we went up to a cabin that my husband's parents own. And the cabin's on this really steep hill. So the driveway is really steep, and it was covered in snow. We have a minivan, so you know, not four-wheel drive, so we can't make it all the way up. So we get the minivan as far up as we can go. And also, we were late leaving, so it's 9 o'clock at night by the time we get there. So it's dark. There's no street lights, you know, in the mountains. So we get the van up as far as we can go, and we turn the wheel so that it won't, you know, slide back down. Meanwhile, we had rolled down the windows because while John was trying to get the van up, I was trying to guide him so he didn't run into a tree. So then it starts to snow. Okay, not a big deal, so we have to roll up the windows. But the wheel had locked, so we couldn't get the car started, which means we couldn't roll up the window. So we're in the mountains, it's 9 o'clock at night, the windows are down, we can't get the car started, and it's snowing. We're like, what do you do? Like, where do you even start? You know, cell phones don't work. Well, we have AAA. So in the cabin, we just went for it. Like, okay, the most they can tell us is no, right? You know, maybe we'll wake up tomorrow morning and angels will have come and, you know, unlocked the wheel. So we call. Sure enough, there is a AAA, you know, within 45 minutes. So they come and they teach us how, apparently you're supposed to pull the wheel even farther to where it's stuck to get it, you know, unstuck. So we got, you know, we got that fixed. Obviously, we would prefer to avoid difficult situations, you know, in life, especially that one. We weren't able to avoid it, but we were given the resources we need to resolve it. And very, you know, most often we want God to prevent us from ever having pain. We want God to stop the situation, you know, and prevent it before we ever have to go through it. But we know that that's not how life works. Having a relationship with Jesus does not protect us from hard times. It doesn't protect us from dealing with pain. Having a relationship with Christ gives us the strength and encouragement and guidance we need to carry on through those times of pain, to carry on in faith and in hope. And not only do we have hope because Christ is with us in the midst of uncertain times, we have hope because this life is not all there is. Right? This is not the end of our story. This life with all its uncertainty is not all there is. Our faith in Christ means we have a hope that goes beyond this world. We have a place in heaven with God forever, and that is where our hope is. When you have Jesus in your heart as Lord and Savior, you have the eternity of God in you, and you have the promise of eternity with God in heaven when you die. And that is why in every season of life, with the ups and downs and the darkest moments of uncertainty, we always have a reason to hope. We always have a reason to pray because God is with us, always. So please join me in prayer. Holy God, I just thank you so much for the story of Mary, for her faith and her trust in you, her absolute courage to serve you in a way that have destroyed her life. And we thank you, God, that you show us through her story that you are with us. Thank you, Lord, for the ways that you provide for us, that you provide your strength and your wisdom and your peace and your comfort. Thank you for the ways that you are with us through others who come alongside. But most of all, Lord, we thank you for your Son, for the promise and hope we have through our relationship with Jesus, that no matter what we're going through in our life, you are still God on the throne. Our hope is still in you, and we will still be with you forever, because this is not the end of our story. Amen.